I just did. Thank you. Wow. Well, good morning. Welcome. For the benefit of all of you, just to let you know, starting last week, we started taping. A couple of people wanted them. And actually, some of them are away that still want them. But so it's available if you miss. But if you don't want that, if you'd like the notes, the notes are always available for any classes that you missed. And so to get it into your hands, and then you can make paper airplanes out of them or whatever else you want to do. Camille, John has the extra copies. They are available to you, just to let you know. We are currently starting lesson 7 today. So hopefully you got the right notes as I handed them out. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and graciousness toward us every day. We thank you and praise you for those who have sacrificed their lives to give us our freedom, and for those who survived but were willing to put their lives on the line that we could have our freedom, as we look into Memorial Day and realize just these freedoms have been granted by you and have been very costly to give us these freedoms. And we thank you for those who are still serving in our military and for the veterans who have been in service in the past. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning to continue in our study of the Word of God. Help us never to take the Word of God for granted. We pray for those who are ill and unable to be with us because of physical ailments, praying, Father, that you'd work in them to strengthen them physically and to, above all, during the trial and difficulty that they're going through, that they would be strengthened in the inner man as they think on the things of God and just reflect on you, and that you give them the comfort that they need. Guide us in our time together today. Help it to be efficient. Help it to be productive for each and every one of us. And we give you the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in lesson 7. Last couple of weeks, we mentioned beginning in lesson 5, and it will continue to the end from 5 to 12, that in those lessons, we are dealing with the how to run the race. We talked about being in the race, and now we're dealing with the everyday working it out in the how. 2 weeks ago, or I should say actually last week and the week before, we looked at the fact that we have to depend upon the fact that God is working in us. If you belong to the Lord, he is in you, and he is going to bring glorification to pass. He is working in your life. What he has started, he will complete. We need to depend upon that. That's just a brief summary of that lesson. And then last week, we also noted that throughout the scriptures, hand in hand with the sovereignty of God is the responsibility of man. And we noticed last week that we are to take our responsibility. We are to obey. Noah had to build the ark. Moses had to go before Pharaoh. And on we go into the New Testament and everything else. We saw that basically we have a responsibility. So we need to obey. We need to do what God expects. We cannot expect to just sit back and depend upon the sovereignty of God, and he's going to find a job for us, find a house for us, find a spouse for us, do all of that when we're not doing our part, very simply put. So we need to do the things that we're supposed to do. And that leads us to this lesson today, which is, again, hopefully practically, we need to think biblically. In order to finish the race strong, we need to think biblically. And that is not easy to do, if we're honest. We can say think biblically fine, but to do that is really challenging thing to do. To begin with, I'd like to look at a couple of verses to set the tone for you. Then I'll make some additional comments and we'll get into our notes. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. These are all familiar verses with you. I will read. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envying and all slander, put those away. It's a responsibility. And then, like newborn babies, what a picture. Long for the pure milk of the word. That should be our desire. So that by it, watch, you may grow in respect to salvation. The growth will come how? Out of the word of God. And we need to long for that. A baby cries when there's no milk. I am amazed at how many Christians will say they are truly a Christian and they have no desire to read the word of God, no desire to hear the word of God. Something's wrong. When there's life, a baby cries when they need nourishment. Our food is the word of God. Another one you're very familiar with, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you know where I'm going with this, verses 16 and 17. All scripture, singular, is inspired by God. God breathed, we all know that. And watch, it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? So that, here's the reason, the man of God may be adequate. And not only that, but equipped for every good work. The word of God is not only inspired, it is not only God-breathed, but it is there to equip us. You need to have the right equipment when you do things. My wife and I were talking about this recently. I was talking to my wife. I was involved in a project, and I says, when you've got the right equipment, it's easy. When you don't, you really have to labor. And that is true in anything in life. Imagine being a dentist, and all of a sudden you have no equipment to work on the teeth. You just say, I think I'll take a knife out of my pocket and start working. It'll be fine. I wouldn't want to be in that chair. Okay? It's also true when you go to drive a car. You need the keys to get in it. And today, I understand, I know you push a button, as long as the keys are someplace on your body. I got it. But you need the right equipment, is the point. We need that. And that is also true spiritually. If we're going to be strong, we need to have the right equipment that's equipping us to be successful. And what is it? The Word of God. Just two more. Does anybody know, here's a test, what the verse is that you walk by every time you come through the front door? Psalm 119, 105. Every one of us today that came in here walked by that verse. Let's be honest. How many looked at it? Raise your hand. I didn't. Just came in the door. You know what it says, Alan? Thank you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What's going to give me the light? What's going to give me the direction? Thy word. Thy word. So the word of God is what's going to help us to be equipped. It's what's going to help us to think. One more, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that's been memorized by everybody. Anybody know what it says? It's all right if you forgot. That's right. But if somebody knows it, if not, turn there, and then somebody be willing to read it. You got it. Thank you. All right, what happens? It is the word of God that's able to penetrate way beyond anybody else, right into our heart, right into our thinking. And that is why, by the way, to an unsaved, you give them the word of God, not your philosophy, because it is the word of God that will penetrate long after you're gone away. Now, those are verses that I turn to that we all know, but it's a good reminder. What is it? It's the word of God that is going to help us to grow. That's going to train us. That's going to give us the right equipment. That is going to able to be penetrating into our own heart to convict us. Not somebody else, but to convict us. And so it's very important that we have the word of God. in us, and we realize that we need the Word of God, okay? Because our thinking is impacted. Our thinking is impacted every day. By what? Give me an idea. What is our thinking impacted? We're not to the notes yet. With our eyes. What we see impacts the way we think. That's true. What else? What we hear. Not only what we see, but what we hear. It impacts our thinking, does it not? Sure it does. What we read. What else? I just put it this way, others, right? People, their opinions, their thoughts. Everything is impacted in our life that affects our thinking, and that's normal. And it's normal. And by the way, before I even make the next comment about the Word of God, don't misunderstand me. We can learn, and we do learn, by reading other sources than the Bible, by going through experiences. We learn by listening to others who are professionals, quote, in a particular area. We can learn. When I was here, in my library, had a lot of books that I disagreed with as a whole. But there were certain things in those books that I had in my library shelf that absolutely had some good observations by people and were true. So I don't want us to discount the fact that we don't learn from other things. However, the point I want to get to is this. Everything needs to be filtered through the Word of God. Our thinking every day needs to be filtered through what God has said. Is that true? Are there more than two genders? Well, that's correct. Okay, but that's right. But God made us, we just memorized it, right? Come on, Genesis 1:27. And he made God, made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Evolution, how do I process that? Genesis 1:1, we memorized it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? So what I'm saying to you is this, we need to think biblically. And as we get infiltrated with all of these sources, some of which are good, we need to filter it as we get ready to make decisions through what God has said. We need to do that. All right, so now we go to our notes. And any questions before we jump into these notes? Okay? All right. Knowledge. Knowing the rules is where it begins. Wasn't that the very first challenge? Anybody remember what Genesis 3:1? If not, you can turn there. What did Satan say? Is that what God said? Did God really say that? Right? He was challenging what the Word of God said. That's Genesis, I believe it's 3:1. Okay? He challenged it right away. And what should have been done is it should have been filtered and said, yes, that is what God said, and I believe it. Well, God doesn't really, he's not, you know, won't die. Really? He said, I would. God knows you're going to be like him. Ooh, that sounds good. Didn't get filtered through the Word of God. It didn't get filtered. So it was challenged right away. We know the rules of where it begins. Isn't that true in every area of life? Board games. I used to do it in a class with the kids. I'd say, let's play tic-tac-toe on the board. And I'd go up to the board and make it and say, okay, you put an X or O, whatever you want. They'd put an O in the middle, and then I'd put two X's. Well, you can't do that. Why not? That's not the rules. I'm next. Oh, okay, there's rules to follow. And if you play a board game, it's the same thing. If you play chess, you don't take a bishop and move him like a castle. You can't do that. It's against the rules, checkers. Unless I get a king, I can't go backwards. I got to go forwards, unless you have your own version. There's always the home version, right? I suppose I need to paraphrase that, because every time we get together as a family, house rules. Wait a minute, what's the house rules? I make them up as I go. No. Okay? It's true, though, in every area. Whether it's jobs, trash pickup, same thing. recycling, no matter what it is in areas of life. Athletes, and we've already looked at some in the past notes I've given you, have apparently seemed to succeed. However, they did disqualified when it found out they didn't go according to the rules. Probably the most common one that you get today is when they test them for drugs and they find out they're on drugs. And so they get disqualified, they lose all their trophies and so forth and so on. So we need to know the rules. Paul was concerned that he would run the race properly. Now, that should read 1 Corinthians 9. You won't find a chapter 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. So make that correction on your notes, please. First Corinthians 9, it's the passage we've read several times in this class, the concept of running the race. I'll read verses 24 to 27, but pay attention to those three points that I have there in your notes. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. That's how you're to run. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Now watch these next verses. Therefore, I run, Paul says. He's in his race, he's running, in such a way as not without aim. I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. So he says, I box in a way that I don't beat the air. But I discipline my body and I make it my slave, that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He was concerned the way he was running his race. Under the bullet points there so that you can plug in, his aim was right. In verse 26, his aim, what was it? He knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. And by this stage in our study, we've already seen that I am to please God in how many things? All things. All my decisions. In running my race, that's my aim. It's to be pleasing to him. Whether I'm involved in an athletic event, whether I'm involved in coming into the local assembly and serving, whether I'm home with my children or my spouse, whether I'm just making decisions on the job, that's my aim. Paul knew what his aim was. He wanted to make sure his aim was right. Secondly, his walk. He wanted to make sure that his walk was right. How would his walk be right? In verse 27. What did he exercise himself to do? Discipline. It requires discipline. I won't have you show your hands, but I will ask how many of us, think about it, really felt like getting up this morning. Yeah, I don't want to get up and listen to Pastor Dan again. Okay, right? It's hard sometimes. It's hard. Yeah, I know I should be serving, but, you know, I got a long list of excuses. Hope it works when you stand before the Lord. It won't, by the way. We can have all kinds of excuses and come up with all kinds of reasoning. His walk was disciplined, guided by what? The Word of God. And then thirdly, his priorities. His priorities were right in verse 27. Very important, because it's going to continue out in the rest of the lessons that we have. In what way was his priorities right in verse 27? Just in your own words. Take a look at it. Well, before that, before the disqualification, he had something under control. He didn't let his flesh lead. He wouldn't let his flesh lead. If he let his flesh lead, there's no way after he got stoned he would have went back and preached. There's no way in the Philippian jail After being beaten and bleeding, he would have sung unto the Lord because his flesh was hurting. He made his flesh subject to him, not the other way around. Why? Because his aim was to please the Lord. Why? He knew what God's word said. And he would abide by it. For this to happen, that is, to have our aim right, to have our walk right, to have our priority right, we must be exposed. That's the fill in the blank. We must be exposed to the word of God. We have to be. If we're going to filter everything through the word of God, we have to be exposed to the word of God. Now, let's be realistic. We have a privilege right here. I'll stop for a second. We have the privilege because we have the whole counsel of God. You know that? We are a privileged generation. Let me tell you something. David didn't have his Bible to walk around with. He didn't have this in print to walk around with when he was tending to the lambs. They were waiting on the Old Testament prophets, and people very rarely got the word of God, but when they got it, they absorbed and they wanted to obey it. You and I have it in our hands. We have it in our own language. We have it available to us, and most of the time it sits on the shelf. We have all of the counsel of God. And we need to, just like with the, right into the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, when the Lord was on the scene, they listened for the word of God. They listened and they would meditate on it and think on it and try to filter it. That's why they would work the way they did, ethically. That's why they would go to study the word of God and to listen with respect to their elders. That's how their life was guided, by what they had, as little as they had. We have it all. Now, how can we do this? How can we expose ourselves to the word of God? Today, it's almost endless. But give me some thoughts of yours. I'll fill in the blanks for you. But what are some of the things you think? How can we expose ourselves to the word of God? Give me, yeah, one. Well, there's two that I have in my notes. Just to read it. To read it. And you've heard me say this before, and I mean this in a good sense. If you are having a difficulty as a reader, forget the commentaries. Spend what little time you can reading the word of God. Read the word. The scriptures tell you that you will be smarter than your teachers. It does. By knowing the word of God. But take the time to read it and memorize. It's a great thing that you're doing as a local assembly, or that we're doing, to memorize scripture. Why? That goes with you. See? It goes with you. How else? How else can we expose ourselves? So reading the word, yes. Memorizing it when we've heard it or whatever. What are some other practical ways? I can't see who you are. Is it Gary? I didn't hear. Yeah, by sharing it. As we have it and then we share it with others, they get exposed and it reiterates it to us. That's another great one. These can all be filled in the blanks, by the way, in that space. Was it Doug? Did I see your hand? Study it, okay. Not only read it, but take the time to study. There's some other practical ways. Is it Dana? Yes, audiobooks, right? Today we have tremendous technology. You can be driving in your car. I mean, with us, with the kids, we had Patch the Pirate tapes. Anybody remember those things? Everywhere we went, our kids had it memorized. And they still talk about it now and then. We get together. The Wiggle Worm, you know, and all that stuff. It's kind of neat. But what happened is you're filtering your mind and the technologies that's available. You can have an audio book, or you, I don't even know if they're making cars now where you can stick discs in anymore. They're kind of getting rid of that stuff. But technology, take advantage of the technology. See, that's a good thing if it's used right. Little chips. Sometimes people get big chips. Chip got pretty big after. I'm only kidding. Yeah, really. Others, come on, there's others. Listening to God, we're on the radio? That's not what I was looking for, though. Here. Yes. Listening to Pastor Chris. Listening to Bible teachers. Right? It is a wonderful thing when you have your children going into classes where they're being taught by godly people. That's why Christian school is terrific. To have that filtering through godly thinking with a teacher. I tell students all the time, you ought to be so grateful to have a small school where your teachers are praying for you. You see? And again, so come to the local church. That's going to help it. Or listen to other pastors. Go to conferences. Go to small groups. I could go on and on. All of those can fill in the blanks there. There's tremendous opportunities for you to hear. You may not be, and we have to be honest, there's some people that can study and study and study and really are good thinkers, and there's others that have trouble just reading. But if you get exposed, I remember as a new believer, we used to go, that's how I got saved, was at a home Bible, it was shortly after, but went to a home Bible study. And that's what we called them then. We didn't call them small groups. But get exposed to the Word of God, and then it begins to turn in your mind, and you remember. So that's a great way, if you're having trouble reading, go out. And you know what? You may not get everything out of the study. You may not get everything out of a message. You may not get everything out of this class this morning. But hopefully God will give you a couple of pieces that will stay with you. Those are all ideas. I put this in here, we need to view our Bible time. We could call it devotions, private readings. Call it whatever you want. Here's my opinion. We ought to view our Bible time not as a duty to hurry and finish. I confess to you, there are times that I've got up and I know what I like to do for reading every day. And sometimes I know that in a half an hour, I got to go do something. And I read through very quickly and I don't remember one thing I read. I know you've never had that happen. But I have devotional time and my wife and I, it's becoming more frequent as I'm getting older, I have to be honest. And we're praying, and as she's praying, I fall asleep. And she said, Dan, I'm done. Oh, okay, my turn. You know, those things happen. I know they don't happen to you, but they do to me. All right, these are things that come up, okay? And we don't want to just hurry, but here's a suggestion. I would suggest that whatever Bible time you have, when it is, where it is, my sister Pat, true story, because of the amount of kids she had, children she had, her private time was in the bathroom. She shut the bathroom door, true story. She shut the bathroom door, and that was her time alone with the Lord. Don't you dare knock on that door when I'm in the bathroom. Whatever works, here's the point. Whenever your time is, don't look at it as a duty, but as a classroom session with the Lord. This is my time alone with the Lord. This will help you to finish strong. This, I don't want interference. My wife knows, when I do my own reading, unless it's an emergency, go for a walk, Linda, go to stay in bed, take a shower, whatever, leave me alone right now. And I mean that in an honest, good way. Same with your spouse. Respect that. That's their time alone with the Lord, where even if you just read one verse and think upon it, you're alone with the Lord and you have time to let that filter into your thinking. It is God that's helping us to think right. I will give you references that we've looked at, but for time's sake, I won't turn to them. But in Job chapter 38, 39, and 40, remember that? Job was puzzled. Look it, he was under tremendous pressure. He had lost his children. He had lost his cattle. He had lost his possessions. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty difficult trial. And he loved his wife, but his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? Thank you. Okay. Look at what he was in. And then he had friends who really were friends. Honestly, I believe that. They were friends. They were trying to help. However, their thinking wasn't good. And Job's puzzled, that I could just stand before God. And in chapters 38, 39, and 40, I put that because there's three different areas. And God basically said to Job, hey, wait a minute. Gird yourself up like a man and listen to me. That's what he says. Where were you when I created everything? You ever look at Behemoth? How about Leviathan? And he goes on and on and basically says, Job, where were you? Let your thinking be filtered through, I am still in control. I haven't forgotten you. You don't know what's going on, but you can trust me. See, he had to have his thinking filtered. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Somebody find that one and somebody find this one. John, who's going to get John 8, 31 and 32? Who's going to read that? Find it and read it. Need volunteers. Need a different volunteer. Alan, you got it. Now, somebody else read John 17, verses 15 through 19. Who will read that to us? Okay. All right, Alan, you're first. If you're really the disciple of the Lord, right, what are you going to do? You're going to basically learn the truth, and the truth will set you free. Go ahead. John, this is the Lord's, what's called the Lord's high priestly prayer. Go ahead. Thank you. All right, right? That's pretty powerful. I don't want to take him out. And he's talking about his disciples there. A little later on, he includes us in that prayer. But there he says, I don't want you, Father, to take them out of the world. But listen to this. He just read it. I am going to have them sanctified how? Even as I have been sanctified. What distinguished the Lord Jesus Christ in his walk? He was God. Yes. He was sent by the Father. Yes. But it was the word of God through which he filtered everything. And he says, I'm setting them apart from the world. Think about that. Christians talk about being set apart. Yes. Set apart from the world. How? Different in your thinking. It's filtered. I'm going to set you apart in the truth. Thy word is truth. That's where you can go. You can rely on God's word 100%. If he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He's coming back. We will be with him forever. Our bodies, no matter how it disintegrates, will be restored to a glorified body because he said so. I can rely on it. I can trust the Lord. I don't have to lie. I don't have to cheat. And I could go on. Submission. While the first step is to get the Bible into us, what good is knowledge without action is the word there. I need action. That was last week as we closed. We need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Doers of the word and not hearers only. So it's great to learn it, but now I need to apply it. And I filter that through my thinking. So as we look at our notes on page 2, here's the fill in the blanks so you have them. Our mind, our speech, and our actions. Our mind, our thinking, our speech, what we say, and our actions, what we do, need to be directed by the Word of God. I need to let the Word of God filter through me so that as I think, as I speak, as I do, it's been filtered by what I know, whatever that degree is. Look, I love to think about the man born blind, personally. What a testimony. It's John chapter 9, if you want to mark it down. But I love to think about him. Why? He was blind from birth. His disciples were all messed up because the Lord's disciples, because they said, who sinned, him or his parents? Neither one. You don't understand. You don't understand. This is for the glory of God. I know what I'm doing. And then he heals the man born blind. And then what do you run into? You run into this situation. How did you get to see? I don't know. All I know is I was blind, now I see, Jesus did it. He knew nothing else. That's all he had to know. He had filtered it through the truth. God had healed him. And you go on and on and on. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know any of that stuff. All I know is I can now see, I was born blind, and he did it. If you've been saved 5 minutes, you can say, all I know is I was lost. I've been found, and Jesus is the one that saved me. Already, you can be running your race well with the limited knowledge you have. And the more that you have of the Word of God, the more you'll be able to filter it. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, would you read that, Bob? You're right in front of me. Well, Bob looks that up. I'll give you the next bullet point there. It says, we need to study the scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, that was for Timothy. We have to be honest. Not every one of us is a student that can spend time, and we haven't got hours. But we do have the ability to study in the sense of what we know, to filter it through our mind. Bob, what was 1 John 2, 3 through 6? Okay, thank you. All right, in that passage, basically, again, we might think of the Ten Commandments. No, no, no. As a New Testament believer, just think of the commands that you have in the New Testament. Just think of that. If God's given me a command, husbands, to love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. Lay down your life for your wife. Filter that the rest of the day when you get ready to explode on her. All right? Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If that's all you know, walk in the truth. Make every effort to help your children to know how God's working through creation, through your family, so that you're different and your kids understand that. Don't frustrate your children. Expect perfection out of them when you don't have it in yourself. One of the most frustrating things that you can do, and I did it to my own kids, is expect them never to do anything wrong, and they're always going to do things right. See? Next bullet point. This requires work and effort on our part. There's no easy one, two, three. And it's not the same in every situation. Scripture alone can be dangerous. For the sake of time, I'm going to give you some of this. Scripture alone can be dangerous. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, I will read that one to you. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Whoop. Went too far. All right, here's what it says. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of things in which some things are hard to understand. I referred to that last week. Paul wrote some things that Peter says it's difficult to understand, but then it says this, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do also the rest of Scripture to their own destruction. If that's all you have is knowledge, but you don't have it the right way, it can be very destructive. People today, 2023, in this room, in this state, in this country, believers throughout the world and non-believers are misusing the Word of God. They have knowledge, but they really don't have the understanding of how that works. In Matthew chapter 4, I won't turn there, but 1 through 11, didn't Satan use Scripture against the Lord? He did. Throw yourself off the pinnacle. The Scriptures say the angels will catch you. Didn't he? Sure. You hungry? You can do it. Make some bread. Eat. You need to be careful. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 to 15. That is a passage you really should know well. Because if not, circle it and get to know it. There's many false prophets that have gone out into the world and false teachers, and they transform themselves into what? An angel of light. They look good. Looks good. But it doesn't get filtered through the Word of God. So we get deceived in thinking that we have understood and they're on the right path. In the old expression, it causes people to drink the Kool-Aid. Anybody know where that was from? Jim Jones. Hundreds of people drank the Kool-Aid. They died because they were following a false prophet who had won over their affections. I need to filter that through the Word of God. Is he bringing out attention for himself, or is he pointing people to Christ? What's going on here? What's going on? And Genesis chapter 3, we already looked at. I'll give you this before we get into decisions. Common state, as far as I know, one of the common sayings of real estate, is it not location, location, location. You want to sell something, if you get the right location, ask what you want, you're all set. That's a basic idea. Is that true? That's usually a saying. Did I get that right? I think I did. You know what the Christians should be saying? Biblically, we should be thinking, anybody know what the three words I'm going to say? Context, context, context. Whatever you hear when people use the Word of God, put it back in the context. That's exactly what Jesus did. He used the book of Deuteronomy on Satan himself. Every single quote that the Lord used in that temptation in Matthew chapter 4 came from the book of Deuteronomy. What does that tell you? He was meditating and thinking on the book of Deuteronomy. And when he was attacked, he said, wait a minute, don't tempt the Lord your God. And he came right back at Satan with the Word of God because he knew it in his context. Context, context, context. That is the why, my friend. Listen, that expositional preaching is the best. You may get tired of it. I remember years ago, I taught through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I was about to teach through 2 Corinthians, and some people got wind of it. And someone came to me and said, why are you going to teach the book of 2 Corinthians? We're getting it over and over again. More of the same and the same and the same. Go do something else. True story. And I just said to the person, I believe the Lord had me go into 2 Corinthians. I'm going into 2 Corinthians. I'm going verse by verse again. That's the right way to teach the Word of God in its context. I'm going to give you a couple of simple ones. You look them up on your own. First one may shock you. Matthew 24, 36 to 42. I won't turn there. You can when you have time. But there are so many Christians, quote unquote, that use that as a passage for the rapture. It has nothing to do with the rapture. That's where it says, in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, two will be out in the field and some will be caught, others will be left. And so forth, and rapture passage. No, it's got nothing to do with the rapture whatsoever. Nothing. In fact, if you look at it close in Matthew 24, the people that are left go into judgment. The people that are taken go into judgment. When we get taken, we go into glory. When they get taken in that text, they go into judgment. The ones that stay go into the kingdom. It's got nothing to do with the rapture whatsoever. Psalm 107:23, I picked that one. And by the way, I could list a long bunch of them. Anybody ever been to Gloucester and seen the statue with the sailor? Anybody know the verse that's on there? Could they go down to the ships to sea in ships, sorry. They get out to the ships. They get out to sea in ships. And the implication is it's for the plaque of all those that died. Have you ever looked at the context of Psalm 107, 23? The whole thing is about rescue. And what it says is they go down, they face these trials and whatever, and God delivers them, saves them. I understand, but it's used out of context. When you put it in its context, he's saying those that go down to the ships, I am there to protect them as well. That's the point of the passage. Jeremiah 29:11. Mark that one down. How many times have you personally quoted that one? I have plans for you. Anybody remember what it says? They're not evil, but good. And everybody reminds themselves God's plans for me. That's a good thing. It's an application. Do you know what the context is? I want you to know that you're going 70 years into captivity. What? But I have good plans for you. I am going to deliver you. But that's in the context of saying you are about to suffer 70 years of captivity. Very rarely do we put these things back in the context. Decisions. We are involved in decisions every day. We need to be transformed in our thinking. That's the whole point today. We need to be changed in our thinking. And Romans 12, 2, which most people know, is a good one to mark down there. Right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the word, don't be conformed to the world in its thinking. Be transformed by renewing your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Think biblically. What has God said? And you can compare 2 Corinthians 3:18 and Ephesians 5 on your own. We need to be realizing in 2 Corinthians it says we are being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit. And in Ephesians, basically what it's dealing with when you read that is let the Spirit of God lead you. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead you. I'll finish up the notes. Simply put, we must do the right thing, or the biblical thing is probably better, even when it hurts. And I think Psalm 15 is a good example. If you give your word to do something, even if it hurts you, you do it. That's what that psalm says. He does it to his own hurt. You say you're going to give somebody $100 and you get $101 all of a sudden in the bank because you lost everything the night before, you give that $100 away. You said before the Lord you're going to do it, let your word carry through. You said you're going to be willing to serve, serve. You said before the Lord, till death do us part, till death do us part. You said before the Lord, whatever it is, do the right thing. Don't lie one to another. You got hurt? Forgive others just as Christ forgave you. Practical application. I'm filtering what I don't want to do right now through what God says I should do. That's the way it works. That's how you finish strong. So to be able to do this, we need to die to ourselves. That's the fill in the blank. Die to ourselves. That's Philippians chapter 3. And then Romans 15, 4. I'll give you this. For our instruction, our endurance, and our encouragement. Why has the word of God been given to us and the examples of the Old Testament? To give us instruction, to help us endure, and to encourage us. I get so encouraged by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've said that before. I get so encouraged by David slinging that stone against Goliath. I get so encouraged to see Solomon, with some of you reading today, for some of you, Solomon looking to the Lord and say, just give me wisdom, not worry about life or all these other things. It encourages me. I get encouraged to see the Apostle Paul singing in prison under suffering. That encourages me so I can win my race. So think biblically and act biblically, and that'll help us to run our race strong. Questions, comments? A lot of notes I try to get in, but we try to move on. Anything? I lose you all today. Hello?
Food for the soul.
Food for the soul. The Bible is the food for the soul, and we want to get our thinking filtered by the Bible. Thank you so much. Lord willing, next week we'll talk about being committed as we go into lesson 8. Lord willing, next week. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you that you've given us the word of God. We have the whole counsel of God. We thank you that as newborn babies, we can grow by feeding off the milk. We thank you that it penetrates even to our soul and spirit when we read it. We thank you and we praise you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Help us, Father, to use the things that are available to us to understand and to hear the word of God so that it would affect our thinking. So that as we make decisions, as we take actions every day in every area of our life, we might filter it through what we know the word of God says. And give us the courage to do that which is right, that which is biblical. Help us to cherish our time alone with you, not to see it as a duty, but to see it as a classroom in which you have the opportunity and our attention to teach us who you are and what you expect. Prepare our hearts for the morning service. We thank you for this time. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.